And I would like to think that when somebody looks at me, they're giving more weight to the positive things and sort of not judging me based on my worst day and my worst moment. And I think that we can do that for our family also, where when we're looking at our family members, our friends, the people we're with all the time, not necessarily being so critical and really developing that holistic don lekaschos about the whole person and who they are and who they have to offer. And then again, that translates into how we talk to them and talk about them.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep Meaningful Conversations, powered by Town Appliance.
Alex and I wear a lot of hats.
We're both writers.
And speakers.
And so many other things, mothers, wives, friends, and active community members.
We love using our skill sets to bring you the best guests to share their wisdom, perspective, and advice on relevant topics.
And we love schmoozing about the topics that are on our mind, and hopefully yours too. Like one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and talking about the stuff we're all thinking about.
So whatever you're doing while listening to our podcast, thanks for joining us for a DMC. Welcome back to the podcast. This 2023 season of Deep Meaningful Conversations is brought to you by Town Appliance, the obvious choice. This means that when you are in the market for a new home appliance, whether it's an oven, washing machine, dishwasher, fridge, or more, think Town Appliance. They're known for their superior customer service tailored for the from customer. You can shop online and nationwide shipping is free for orders over $1,000. Or if you don't want to shop online or you're in Baltimore, Lakewood, or Cedarhurst, you can visit one of their beautiful showrooms. You can find the link to their website and their contact information in our show notes.
Okay, let's get this DMC started.
We are so glad you've joined us for another deep and meaningful conversation. If you are listening at the time of this episode's release, you know that we are in the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is like an interesting vibe in that it comes smack in the middle of the summer. And it reminds us about how the Jewish calendar versus the summer vacation is what truly guides our summer days. It's like we're like the rest of the world is like, oh, beach, vacation, fun. And we're like, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This is serious.
No fun for us Jews.
Well, not no fun, but you know, it's just a different perspective on the world.
Yes, and I think it can include fun and beach and all that.
Yeah, sunshine.
But, you know, it just reminds us that we're leading up to Tisha B'Av. And, you know, of course you feel it the most with the restrictions of the 9 days. 3 weeks, maybe a little harder to start feeling it, but 9 days for sure. And, you know, I do want to acknowledge that, like, sometimes it's hard to get into the right mindset because it is, well, summer. And for many of us, that, you know, brings a welcome change of pace that may be a little bit more relaxed. But, you know, we really can't forget the true nature of these days. And the 9 days, certainly, when we get to that point, forces us a little bit more strongly.
Exactly. So as co-hosts of this podcast, we knew that we wanted to provide you, our listeners, something meaningful for us all to help, like, get into the mind, for to help all of us. Mm-hmm. On whatever side of the microphone we're on, to get into the mindset of the 3 weeks. And as we're leading up to Tisha B'Av, we really should be thinking more about the mitzvahs ben al nechavero, since sinas chinam, baseless hatred, is the reason given for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash.
Right. So our immediate thought was Yocheved Zavidowitz and the topic of Lashon Hara, since that's her quote-unquote specialty.
Yes.
Not that her specialty is speaking it, but she's going to tell us.
Important clarification.
Yes. She's going to tell us a little bit more about her work with the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation when it comes to dealing with family members. Mm. And that sounds really relevant and fresh and different. So we were all in.
Absolutely. And this is a very tricky area. Understatement alert.
Yes.
And we are very much looking forward to Yocheved breaking it down for us. Like, how does this concept apply when we're dealing with family members? When we're so close to people, we see all the flaws and all the weaknesses. And we sometimes may really feel the need to vent and maybe rant. But, like, do we have a get out of jail pass when it comes to speaking Lashon Hara about our loved ones? What do you think, Alex?
No comment. So, all great questions, Rivki. And this is why we're having Yocheved as our guest for this episode. Yocheved is a licensed counselor, a certified nutrition coach, a writer, an educator, and the host of the podcast, A Deeper Conversation. So which conversation is deeper? Is hers or ours?
I love her podcast. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Check it out. We'll link that in our show notes. In her private practice, she works with women struggling with anxiety, depression, emotional eating, and relationship issues. Yocheved currently hosts Wake Up Words with the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation and runs a daily Shmiras Lashon chat for hundreds of women worldwide.
We hope you enjoy our DMC with Yocheved Davidowitz. Yocheved, it is so great to have you back on DMC. Why don't you tell us what you do professionally and how you got into your field? Also, please make sure to tell us about the work that you do for the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, as some of our listeners may recognize your voice from there.
Yeah, people recognize my voice. They don't necessarily recognize my face. I don't know if you get that also, but okay, professionally. So I started off as a teacher, and very slowly as I was moving around, raising my children, I finished my bachelor's and then a master's in counseling psychology, which was in Canada. And I started transitioning from teaching to being a therapist.
Nice.
And so that's what I spend a lot of my day now doing. So I'm in private practice, working with women, marriage, family, that kind of thing. And then a few years ago, a friend of mine lost her dad, and he wasn't religious, but his Hebrew name was Yisrael Meir. Mm. And he, even though, like I said, he wasn't religious, he was very proud of the fact that he was named after the Chafetz Chaim. And so my friend decided that she was going to learn Shmiras HaLashon L'Zecher Nishmaso. And I was very inspired by her learning that, and we're very good friends. So a few things came up during the year, which, you know, had she not been learning Shmiras HaLashon, would have been a disaster. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go back. It's been a long time since I learned the halachos. And at the same time, my sister-in-law had a WhatsApp chat on Emuna and started doing Shmiras HaLashon. And then the people who were on the Emuna chat were like, no, we want Emuna. So she started two chats. Mm. And because I'm a former teacher, so I know that the way to learn something is to teach it. Right. So I called her up and I'm like, why don't I take over the Shmiras HaLashon chat? And that way I'll get to learn the halachos again. So that's basically like a conversation that changed my life. But because I started doing that, so somebody at Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation heard one of the clips. So I still have that chat, which has, I don't know, like maybe 1,200 women on it daily.
Wow.
Where I send it out
nice.
Every day. And I do Wake Up Words with the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. And I've been really zocha to work with them on a lot of different things and lecture for them and be involved in a lot of their projects. And then just it's gone from there. So I'm a therapist, and I'm also get to still be a teacher, which is really nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Hmm.
So you have daily content that you're preparing for these chats?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, in the beginning, it was rough. I have to admit, like a two-minute clip took me like 2 hours to put out. And when I started it, I made my husband listen to every clip because I couldn't. It was so horrible to me to listen to myself, as you have probably experienced. And I didn't believe that they were good. And my husband said, just post it. I'm telling you. And it was like an act of faith to just hit send.
Hmm. Yeah.
But obviously, I'm getting much better at it. And it doesn't take me 2 hours anymore. And my husband no longer has to listen to them. Although, I mean, it's nice if he does. But I don't think he's a listener.
Wow.
Daily listener. So, yeah.
That's great. So how did you actually decide to start the Daily Shmiras Lashon chat? And also, I'm sure you've learned so much, of course, material and content, because you described that you wanted to learn more about it. So that's why you got it started. But anything specific that you've learned from the experience of managing this chat that's focused on not gossip, you know, but focusing on learning?
I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about myself, and I've obviously learned a lot about the topic. Mm. So I always thought that I wasn't a consistent person. And it turns out that I have been able to do this consistently for however many years. I don't know, it's like 3 years now, every single day.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Right. So if you would have asked me beforehand, I would have said that, like, I'm just not by nature a consistent person. I'm more flexible, and there's good things to that. But maybe it's just realizing, like, the thing that you're trying to be consistent about isn't necessarily, like, where your interest or talent is. And it's finding that thing that you love, and you're able to be consistent if you find the right thing. So I don't know. That's just sort of an observation that I've made along the way. And so, you know, I definitely know that with regards to Shmiras HaLashon, I mean, the first time that I learned Hilchos Lashon Hara was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my dad decided we were going to learn a halach of Sefer Chafetz Chaim every Shabbos meal. And I have to tell you that when I saw those books come to the table, it was like, no. I was like an automatic cue to space out, you know? And it was just, I had this like negative feeling about it because of that.
Wow.
Although it must have stuck, because I was surprised how much I remembered when I started learning it again. But there is a Yetzer Hara to not learn Shmiras HaLashon. Like, well, Yates or will redirect us and say, like, no, concentrate on something else, because the effect of learning Shemir Salashon is so powerful. So there's obviously going to be these roadblocks. So I know from speaking to so many women that, you know, it just gets overwhelming. Women start learning Shemir Salashon, they're like, it's too much. I can't monitor everything that I say. It's too hard.
Right. Do people feel like they can't open their mouth for like anything?
Yeah. And then social situations become difficult. Right. Like you don't want to go out with friends. So those are like the two things that we really struggle with.
Right.
Yeah. And then learning to like see it as like an effort as opposed to a goal. Like we're not going to be perfect. I would like to have a day free of Lashon Hara. I'm still working towards that goal. Like one day.
Wow.
But I don't say any Lashon Hara, you know.
And you're teaching about it every single day and you say that.
Right. So if people need to have like a little bit of grace for themselves while still like working on it. So yeah.
I think that's like a very good life lesson overall, you know, whenever we start working on anything. I'm so curious about the consistency piece. I totally agree with the idea, like when you find something that does kind of hit those points, it's something that you're interested in and you have a talent for it, then it is for sure, I think, easier to be consistent in something. Did you have any times over the past, however many years, the past 3 years, where like you almost like stopped or you almost fell off the consistency wagon? And like, how did you kind of like avoid those, if they existed, how did you avoid those kind of potential roadblocks?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some times where I think like, maybe I should just take a break for a week or take off. And actually what I do now in the summers, I didn't do this the first year I didn't do this, I was posting even on Chol HaMoed. So now I don't post on Chol HaMoed or Erev Yom Tov. So I take over Erev Yom Tov, Yisru Chag, so Sukkot Pesach. And then now in the summers, I don't do Sundays because Shabbos is just over too late to prepare a clip for Sunday morning. So I feel like in the summer I have a little bit of a break, but then what happens is that just the natural like flow of the calendar, like when El starts, like I really want to be in it. And there's that energy that you want to like get involved in learning. So that kind of pushes me back into being consistent. So there's definitely times where I feel a little bit pressure. And then sometimes what I do is that I don't like to pre-record because I want to learn every day myself.
Yeah.
But if I am going on vacation, I'll pre-record like a week's, you know, or whatever. I mean, I don't get away that often that it comes up, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think it's finding the thing that you love. It's also the responsibility of it that there are people who are on the other end listening. So that also keeps me honest and keeps me consistent.
Yeah.
So if it was just me, like, let's say writing a book or something, I don't know if I'd be consistent to have like a writing schedule, you know? So
yeah.
It's all sense. The factors. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this episode is coming out during the 3 weeks.
Okay.
And one of the things that we focus on during this time of year is Mitzvos Bein Adam Lechavero. And when we were brainstorming this episode, it had come up in the conversation that lately you've been discussing the specific angle of how family applies to this topic, which is super fascinating. So why is this something that you've found particularly interesting recently?
Okay. I'm so glad you asked me this. This has been my topic this summer.
Oh.
I've been teaching Shemir Salashon for a long time. And, you know, like every year during the 3 weeks on Tisha B'Av, there is so much content out there. I don't know, like last year I was just blown away on Tisha B'Av by like how many options there were and how many things to listen to.
Yeah.
And we just hear the same things every year, like Sinas Chinam, Avas Yisrael. And I feel like we think about it in terms of like globally, like Jews who look like this should have their hearts open to Jews who look like this, and think about Jews who are different than you, or different groups, people who are more religious or less religious, or different communities or whatever it is, people who are different yarmulkes. And we sort of get caught up in that, but it's a little bit like almost low-hanging fruit, I feel like. Really, like just like they say, most accidents happen close to home, right? Most Lashon Hara happens at home with the people that you're with every day, with your family members, with your sister, with your mother-in-law, you know, saying Lashon Hara about your mother-in-law. I'm not sure if anybody could relate to that, but that's the thing that happens sometimes. And I think that that is really where the hard work is, to take all those lessons of Shemir Salashon and not just think about it as sort of globally, but think about it personally and in our families. And I don't know, like, here's what I was thinking about. Tell me what you I don't know. I'm a therapist, so I have the following thing all the time. Somebody will sit in my office and tell me, you know, everybody thinks my dad is so great, but if they only knew what he was really like, or everybody thinks my husband or my mother or whoever, right? I hear this kind of thing all the time. Wow. People think my mother's such a balas chesed, but if they knew what how she talked to us at home or how she yelled at us, right? But you never hear the opposite, right? You never hear, like, my dad is so warm and he's so nice to my mother, but he's awful to his work. Like, you never hear that.
Mm.
If you're a good person at home, you're a good person out. So you have to start with at home. You have to start with the people that you love and not... you know, like just globalize something, it's much harder, obviously. But I think that that's really where the work is.
Oh, I love that. So. I feel like, yeah. No, you go.
No. Okay.
No, I feel like it's, do you feel like because we do know the people at home so intimately and we see like them with their guards down and we see like them at their best and their worst and we just know so many more details, do we naturally gravitate towards like looking at the negative in a person? Do we just know, how can we filter out that like onslaught of information, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. I think it's that. I think it's just the familiarity. It leads you to like kind of not have your guard up and you're not on your best behavior at home just in general. So I think there's that. I think you're also very emotionally reactive because of the situation. You also make assumptions about somebody else's motives more easily because, you know, you live with them. And so you assume that you know everything there is to know about your sister, right?
Yeah, right.
Or you know why your husband like left the cabinet doors open, even though he asked you a million times. So why shouldn't you raise your voice and talk to him in a not nice way? Because, you know, you asked him a million times. So there's just all that stuff that's going on. So it makes it that we just, you know, we don't think about it. Like talking to your husband, like there's a halacha, onas devarim, that we have to talk to people in a nice and respectful way. That also includes your husband. That also includes, you know, your kids. I was talking to a client once and she was telling over, you know, a scenario that happened with her husband. And she was telling me what she said. And I said, you can't talk to your husband that way. And she's like, no, I don't think you heard what he did. And she goes back and she told me the whole story. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You can't talk to another person that way.
Wow.
I don't care if it's your husband. So, you know, the fight is legitimate and what he did was not cool, but you just can't talk like that because he's another person. And there's a halacha. So, you know, we just, it's very hard. Right. I mean, easy enough to say here on this podcast, right. But
yeah.
Much harder when you're actually in the moment.
When we get home.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think also like what you were saying is the people that we know well, and I don't know the psychological term, but I know it's some type of idea. Sorry if I'm putting you on the spot. This idea where we have this like mindset of framing that person as a certain way. And then when incidences come up, like we plug it in like, oh, that makes sense because this person gaslights. So this is gaslighting. Right. Or that makes sense because this person, I don't know, has an anxiety problem. So that's just their anxiety manifesting. And then we like look out for ways for it to make sense in our mind and often maybe blow up situations more. And then often have these emotional reactions where we want to speak badly to them or about them because we understand them so much more. We're living with them.
Right. So I think what you're talking about maybe is a heuristic or confirmation bias, maybe. A heuristic is a mental shortcut. So we obviously can't make a judgment every single time we are engaged in a situation. So if you see, like, let's say you're walking late at night and you see somebody walking towards you, and if it's like a 6'4" man with a hoodie, you're going to go across the street. You're not going to stop and think, like, is this a dangerous situation? Am I being, you know, am I stereotyping? Your mind has already made that shortcut, and sometimes that works to our benefit, but sometimes it also makes it harder because we don't really stop and think through the way that somebody's behaving and give them the benefit of the doubt and go through all the steps that we need to take in the moment. So,
yeah, you know. I think benefit of the doubt is so, I've been more conscious about this, trying, is so powerful when it comes to family members because it's so often we like that confirmation bias. We're like, oh, she's doing X, Y, Z. And we like start analyzing. It's like, wait a minute, like, don't go there. Like, just try to see, like, maybe there's a reason why. And it doesn't have to fit your, you know, it doesn't have to confirm your bias about this particular person.
Right. Well, I think that's very interesting what you just said, because obviously giving somebody the benefit of the doubt is a huge part of the way that we talk to somebody, the way we talk about them. And I think a lot of times Lashon Hara is almost like the symptom, right? So developing an Ayin Tov, like looking at people with a good eye, not giving people the benefit of the doubt, or learning to give people the benefit of the doubt, which means like the whole person. Like it's almost like, I think of it lately, I've been thinking of it more like holistically. So if we're gonna apply this, let's say we were talking about with our family members, right? So, you know, sometimes we think of giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, it's like an incident. So you see somebody in the store and they're yelling at their kid, and are you gonna give her the benefit of the doubt and assume that she just had a hard day? Are you gonna assume that she's just a bad mother?
Right.
But when I think about it more holistically, it's like positive things. And I would like to think that when somebody looks at me, they're giving more weight to the positive things and sort of not judging me based on my worst day and my worst moment. And I think that we can do that for our family also, where when we're looking at our family members, our friends, the people we're with all the time, not necessarily being so critical and really developing that holistic don lekaschos about the whole person and who they are and who they have to offer. And then again, that translates into how we talk to them and talk about them. So it's really more of, like I said, lashon hara is really more of a symptom almost.
Well, that's so interesting to think of it as a symptom. And yeah, I think that it's, I think Rev Gav had said once that we're like 8 times more likely to think of, like to view things in a negative way or to like dwell on negative thoughts. I don't know if as a therapist, there's any like research to like back this up.
I don't know.
But I think that, yeah, if we did focus more on looking at the positive qualities of those in our family, then it would be easier to not speak lashon hara about them and also to speak nicely to them.
I agree. Right.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. There we go. We solved the problem. We can stop the podcast right
okay,
now.
There we go.
Okay, let's take a break with a note from our sponsors. What I love about Town Appliance is that they truly provide a personalized experience for the firm shopper. I had a friend who was renovating her kitchen here in Cleveland. I walked into our kitchen. Of course, it's all beautiful and brand new. And, you know, you're always curious, where did you get this? You know, tell me, did you design this? Did you pick out your tiles? And I was asking her about our appliances, and she told me how they were shipped from Linkwood, that, you know, it was so easy. And she got them from Town Appliance, and she never even visited a showroom to see what these look like. She just worked with someone over the phone, right? So, you know, I think like aside from all those details that you want to be clear about, you know, Shabbos mode, et cetera, it's just really nice to work with a firm company that will appreciate, you know, how many loads your washing machine will need to take and how often we use our ovens, our dishwasher. Town Appliance carries all the brands, models, and price ranges. It really is the obvious choice. So visit them online or give them a call. You'll see all those links in our show notes to see how they can assist you in locating the appliance you really, truly need. Okay, so let's get back to reality. I think I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think there's sort of like this feeling that like when it comes to families that you could speak lashon hara about your husband, your mother-in-law, your sister, whoever it may be, your child.
All right.
Tell us about that. Is that like why do we maybe think that, and what is the truth?
So, no, you can't speak lashon hara about your family members. The Chafetz Chaim is very clear about that halacha, even between husbands and wives. Now, obviously, your husband might be the person that you process things with. Mm. And I think where this gets a little tricky is a lot of people know that there is this, I don't know, maybe you were going to ask me about this, but I don't know, dispensation, I guess, that you're allowed to vent or you need to talk to somebody about something, which is true.
Yeah.
But I think that people need to realize, like, venting means that I'm working through something. It doesn't mean that I'm just talking lashon hara about somebody.
That's a good point.
And so you want to think, like, what's the goal in this conversation? Is it really to help me process this? Is it so that I'm in a better place? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I know, let's say, if I'm going to complain about a family member that really bothers me and I call, let's say, I don't know, my sister, somebody who has the same experience with that family member, very often when I get off the phone, I'm more worked up, you know, because we just reinforce each other's negativity. And yeah, you're so right about that, you know. That's not helpful. It feels good in the moment in the same way eating a cookie feels good. Like you get a rush of like sugar and dopamine, but then afterwards you feel gross.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's like that. Like when you're talking about somebody, do you have like a rush of like validation, but then feel bad that you said something?
Interesting.
Or are you really working through your relationship issues so that you can be more respectful to that person or have a better relationship with them or understand where they're coming from? And so I think that's because of like venting, which we could talk about more because I know it's like, I know for me, it is the number one question that I get.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Number one question. And lashon hara on WhatsApp chats. That's number two.
Wait, lashon hara about what?
Lashon hara on WhatsApp chats.
Oh, on WhatsApp.
Like, is it okay if it's a text? Is this lashon hara?
Or like being on a community chat and somebody says something and then like I responded and then the, you know, like that kind
and
of
the
thing.
Pile up.
Yeah. So that those are the two biggest questions that I get. But just to go back to what you said about family, like, I don't know why we think it is. I think, first of all, we have to realize also that we have so much power of communication at our disposal. We are so in touch with our family now in a way that we never were, right? With phones and with texting and with everything. And we're all chatting and we're voice notes and everything. So we just have all this opportunity to be in touch with our family. And again, like we said before, the barriers are down. And we're very emotionally triggered by our family. We're very reactive. So we act without thinking. We get upset and hurt very easily. Yeah. So we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so we don't stop to think like, hey, there's a halacha that is at play here that should be monitoring what I say. And it's really hard to stop and take a breath and ask ourselves, I mean, it's almost impossible sometimes, which is why you really need to learn Shemir Salashim, because I always say, like, the value isn't necessarily that I'm learning something new every day when I do my daily thing. The value is, I mean, I do a lot of times learn something new, but the value is that it just keeps it in the forefront of your consciousness.
Yeah.
And so it makes you just a little bit more cognizant during the day that, you know, I want to think before I speak.
Right.
Exactly. I think it's so also, I was just thinking as you were talking about how, like, the Torah has so many just phenomenal qualities. Obviously, that is an understatement of the entire podcast history. The Torah has great, good qualities. Thanks, Rivki. But just like the idea of, like, when you do the venting, when you're doing like the venting where then it is only further ingraining that negative feeling you have about a family member. But the Torah has that protection for us. If we are really plugging into the laws of Shemir Seleshon, then it can protect us from having that, like, negative reinforcement if we're able to, like, vent in the proper way and not in, like, the improper way.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, just think about it like this. If you were going to go talk to somebody, it would be Latoelis for a constructive purpose. So if you really would know the halacha, so let's say the first halacha is that what you say has to be either firsthand information or you have to know it as reliable fact from somebody. So even that, like, if you think about it, that makes you stop and say, like, okay, is this actually true or is this just my feelings? The second halacha is that you have to sort of understand what happened in context. Mm. Like, how much of this is my own stuff? How much is really what this person did when I'm talking about this, and really to separate that. And so even just that exercise, I mean, these are just the first two, there's seven conditions of Toelis, but but the first two conditions, even that, if you're really going to go through the steps and you're going to go talk to somebody and you're thinking, like, let me just make sure that I'm actually saying what's true and not just saying, like, what I'm feeling or saying what I think to be true or how I'm looking at it and try to look at it from the other person's perspective or figuring out what's really going on. Like, yeah, you're right. The Torah has all those exercises that are so psychologically important for being able to deal with other people, and it really impacts relationships.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, you know, the upside. I always say working on Shemir Seleshon really does impact your friendships and your relationships in such a powerful way.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think there's an allure about, or just like a natural attraction to speaking to a family member about another family member to process or vent. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what your thoughts are about that. Like, let's say you had an incident with your mother. Mm-hmm. So yes, you could call a therapist or a rav. I don't know. It depends how serious the situation is and speak to someone objective. But there's something about, oh, I'm going to call my sibling or call my sister because my sister knows my mother and she can, she understands. She understands the big picture. She grew up in the home too. And maybe the sister can be more helpful or that conversation can be more effective in working through it. So that's, I think, often why we do reach out to other family members to speak about other family members, because they know.
Right. I mean, nobody knows what you're going through with your mother more than your sister.
Right.
Right. So that's true.
I mean, I'm an only child, but, like, theoretically speaking.
And I have no sisters.
Yeah. No, but it's true. I mean, I had a client once who told me, we were talking about this, and she said, you know, I decided I'm not going to speak to my sister anymore about my mother.
Huh.
Because of, like, sort of what we said before, that in the moment it feels good, but it's just, it's making me feel negative emotions towards my mother because we're just going back and forth with each other about it. And as much as it feels good to get that validation, if it's not going to help the relationship, then usually it's not, like, a good thing. Right? Ultimately, long term, it's not good for you. And it's sometimes you do need to speak to your sister. I'm not saying that all the time that that's the case. There are definitely times, you know, let's say you have kids who are, you know, have an elderly parent that's sick and they're all, you know, talking to each other on WhatsApp, trying to deal with the sick parent. And maybe, you know, they're taking care of their father and their mother's a factor, or they're taking care of their father and the mother's a factor. And the kids are all speaking to each other. And you have to sort of, I don't know, correct for the fact that maybe one of the parents is difficult and talk about how to manage that parent. Like, there's a lot of Latoelis reasons why you would need to speak to your siblings about your parents, right, or taking care of them or whatever it is. But, you know, figuring out when it's helpful and when it's not helpful to the relationship, I think is also a good guideline for whether or not it's appropriate conversation or not appropriate conversation. But of course, yeah.
And it might not be a good for your sister's relationship with her mother too. Like, right, be sensitive to that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, it's very hard when you're in a sibling group and then, like, or any kind of social group where one person all of a sudden decides that they really don't want to speak Lashon Hara. Like, this is what we started off with a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. It's even as hard as it is with your friends. Like, you could choose your friends, you can't choose your family.
Yeah.
And I've heard recently actually from a woman who said that she's on a WhatsApp chat with her siblings and she's a little bit more, I guess, to the right, should we say, a little bit more observant than her siblings. And she's really the only one who has this awareness of Shemir Salashon. And it's, she feels like she's constantly trying to navigate the situation. They're all talking about the parents and the siblings just don't have any awareness. Very hard. And you can't opt out. You can't leave the chat.
Right.
You know, so you have to stay in contact with your siblings and just figure out, like, in a almost case by case basis, like, how do I want to respond to this? How much should I gauge? How much shouldn't I gauge? I mean, that stuff isn't for wimps.
Yeah. Not for wimps. No, I was thinking, like, how do you advise someone who's in that situation if they're in like an established friend group or if they're in a sibling group and it does come up a lot and they're trying to strengthen themselves in this mitzvah? Like, how do you do it without it being exceedingly awkward?
Mm. Right. I mean, you know, we talk about not speaking Lashon Hara, but the truth is being in the listener role is harder because you don't have control over that. Like, I could stop myself with a lot of work and training to not speak Lashon Hara, but you just do get caught in situations where you're listening and somebody said something to you, and then what are you supposed to do? And sometimes, you know, I always think about the girl who, like, goes to her in-laws for the first time, and it's Yantif, and she's sitting at the table. Like, nobody's more captive, hostage, than somebody who's at somebody else's Shabbos table. Like, you can't get up and walk out of Shabbos. You can't leave, right, if they're all speaking Lashon Hara. So the halacha there, there's also guidelines. Like, you're not supposed to accept it as fact or believe that it's true. And sometimes that's all that you can do in a situation is to not, you know, try not to believe it and accept it. And that's hard also.
Mm-hmm. Right, because once you hear something, it, I mean, it gets in your mind. I remember someone had said something to me once uncomplimentary about someone else. And the next time, even though I knew that it was coming from a place of bias and I knew, like, I knew all the things. Like, I knew it was, like, not, like, objectively true. The next time I saw that person, I had a negative tinge in my mind.
Of course.
And it was like, oh my gosh. And it took a little while to fade.
Yeah.
I was like, this is really weird and not pleasant.
You really have to work on it. And I think also, like, people always ask, like, when I heard something, but what if I know that that's true?
Yeah.
So let's say somebody's talking about somebody who just got a divorce. Well, I know they just got a divorce. I know he got custody of his kids. And I know that there was a big fight. And I know that they went to court. So you're hearing all this, this is a made up example, but you're hearing all the stuff and you know that the facts line up with the story that you're told. So in that case, as a listener, you can always, like, again, we're going back to judging somebody favorably. Like, you don't know how that person grew up. You don't know what his demons are. You don't know what they're fighting for. Nobody can judge another person except for Hashem. You know, you don't know how, like, what his struggles are. That's another way, when you're hearing something negative that just seems to be true and it seems like the facts are there, you could still find a way to not think of that person in a negative light. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's the only thing that you, that's within your power to do in a situation.
Okay, so I feel like we've covered this pretty thoroughly. I'm going to just see if there's anything that we didn't touch on. But, like, you know, when we need to vent or share frustrating experiences, either to family members about other family members or to, like, a trusted confidant about family members, we have to really make sure that we're doing it in a way that's going to improve the relationship and not damage it, and is also in accordance with halacha. Is there anything that we didn't cover yet about, like, the Torah view on, like, these kinds of, when we do need to vent or we do need to process something in order to try to make it better? Like, what, how do we even go about doing this?
I mean, I happen to think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a therapist, but therapy is a good place for this for a few reasons. First of all, you know it's confidential. So you know you're not spreading rumors. And so you have to be, one of the rules of Toalas is also making sure that the person is not going to spread what you're saying. So if you're in a situation with a Rav or a mentor or somebody who really has, therapist has confidentiality, you know that that person, it's not going to go anywhere. Also, your goal is constructive. You're not just talking to a friend. You're going to somebody to seek advice on how to deal with that, which is also very helpful. So I think finding those people, identifying who in your life is going to be the person that you talk to. And it could be that this person could help me with dealing with my mother, and this person could help me deal with this person or deal with this particular situation that I'm having at work. It might not always be the same person, but finding that person that really is going to help you in a constructive way. Like, that's the key word, that it's constructive. And I'm coming out on the other side of the conversation with a better relationship with that person, better equipped to deal with them, and not angrier and, you know, more entrenched in my negativity about them.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that person doesn't have to be a therapist, right?
Doesn't have to be a therapist, no. Mentor, a Rav. I mean, could be a friend, you know, assuming that, like, the person that you're speaking to knows the halachos. That's one of the conditions. Like, they, you know, need to know that, you know, the limits of the conversation.
Right.
And do you find also that sometimes Lashon Hara happens because we're not properly dealing with the situation? Meaning, maybe a hurtful comment was made and that's really upsetting you and now you need to tell someone else about it. But maybe actually there's a way to not confront the person, but have an open communication with the person who hurt you and talk about that and process it together with that person. Or is that like too tricky and depends on the relationship?
Well, Alex, that's one of the other rules of Toelis. Okay. Is that if you could deal with the situation directly, then you should do that. Now, that's not always an option. Like, you know, sometimes some people are really respectful and receptive when you come and confront them directly. But a lot of times that is not the case. People get very defensive and you don't want somebody to now go and say lashon hara about you. Right. So you really have to know your audience and think through if this is going to be helpful. Like it would be wonderful if we could just speak to everybody directly and not be at all passive aggressive in our communication.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
Or snarky or any of these
things. Right. But that's not always possible. So if there's a way that you can deal directly with the person, then actually that's one of the conditions. You have to do that. But sometimes it's not the case.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're talking about, you know, like you said, a mother or a mother-in-law. Like you can't, a young girl can't just go directly to her mother-in-law and say, you know, I think what you said on Yontif was really hurtful to me. Like that's not necessarily going to be
interesting.
Hurtful. Right. Setting them up for a long-term success. Right.
All right. So you've definitely worked with a lot of women and you have a lot of people who are listening to you and following you. So I'd imagine you've probably heard a lot of stories and people have reached out to you. Do you have any story that you're able to share from either your teaching, you know, or even your own practice, of course, identifying details change that really drives home any of the messages you've shared with us today?
Okay. Well, I mean, I do hear from a lot of people. I actually heard from somebody a little while ago who told me that they had been learning Shmir Selefron for a year and a half. And they found that their relationships changed so much. And the main reason why they changed is because through the process of being down the kafschus and trying not to speak lashon hara, they found that they were moving away from competition. Like everything wasn't just an assessment of somebody else. Like we're always assessing and judging other people and measuring our progress versus their progress. And like the practice of really trying to develop an attitude towards other people that was positive was so impactful in that specific area of competition, which I thought is very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was very cool.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Wow. It really can enrich our life in so many ways. Like it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it really does.
Now I'm just thinking about I'm just thinking about how I can now try to view everyone in my life with an eye and toe even better.
Listen, it's a lifelong process. Yeah. It isn't something that, you know, anybody who's ever listened to this podcast that you're going to be able to do tomorrow. Right. You have to involve yourself in some sort of a daily practice and trying to remind yourself in whatever way that works for you to keep it like in the forefront of your head. But, you know, it's very hard work and it is overwhelming. And like I said, there is this, the Chofetz Chaim says this in Shmir Selashon, that there's a very strong Yetzirah that will push us away from working on Shmir Selashon because the powerful force that we unleash when we are careful about our words is so great. And so we need to really be aware that like the Yetzirah is out to get us to stop working on, you know, and it's hard. Like you have to watch everything you say. And some people just feel that like, you know, there's so much pressure, but you know, it's like the other side is worse. You know, it's a little bit like, and I always make this, you know, example of food, but you know, if you ever had that feeling like I can't watch what I eat anymore, it's just too overwhelming, it's just too exhausting,
it's like a
burden.
I don't want to,
it's such a burden and I'm constantly thinking about like nutrition and this and I just want to eat whatever I want, I'm saying of course, but like we pay for that in a much worse way than if we're just, you know, constantly paying attention. So
I also think the experience of like overcoming like a specific desire to say lashon hara about something, like let's say you're like going through something really rough and like you're just like ready to pick up the phone, like you just need to. And then if you've ever experienced, and it's hard, but if you've ever experienced that feeling of, or that decision that I'm not going to do it, can process the stuff in a different way that's a healthier Torahic halachic way, like that can propel you forward and serve to motivation. Like, remember how that felt when you didn't say lashon hara? I want that again.
Right. Well, you're speaking to something also. Well, first of all, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the letter from the Vilna Gaon, who says that for every second that a person holds himself back from speaking lashon hara, he merits a reward beyond the comprehension of angels.
That's amazing.
Just sort of a device that I tell people all the time, even with Onas Devarim, with like speaking inappropriately, let's say raising your voice. I hear at least once a week, I have a woman in my office who's upset about the fact that she yelled at her kids and how does she stop yelling at her kids. And I always say time, you have to insert time. And so this is sort of what you were saying, Alex, where you just like stop and think and allow your logical brain to take over from your emotional brain immediately react. And then you'll be able to like think about how you want to respond instead of just reacting.
Right.
And so time is your friend. So taking a deep breath, taking a moment, taking a time out, anything like that.
Very helpful.
That is tremendous. And I was thinking back when you were talking about how the Yitzhara is like so motivated to prevent us from learning about these halachos. I forget who I was just listening to, but they're talking about that's why we do it for like a max on the feet, like for like, I'm just going to do it for this 1 hour.
Right. Yeah. You have to sort of find a way that makes it work. I got a call from a woman in Israel who told me that something had happened in their community. Maybe it was a child who was sick. And the Chafetz Chaim, I mean, I would never say this. The Chafetz Chaim says that bad things happen because we speak Lashon Hara. Mm. And when we don't speak Lashon Hara, we in effect create a protective bubble around our community. So even if we do things wrong, if we're not speaking Lashon Hara, then we don't get the din from the thing that we do wrong. So they wanted to do some sort of initiative on Shemir Salashon, and she was asking me my advice about what should they do an hour a day? Should they do this? Should they do that? And I'm like, do whatever works for you. Everybody should do something that's going to work into their schedule, whether it's sometimes it's like picking a specific person in your family that you tend to speak Lashon Hara a lot about. We all have that person. So you pick that one person and like, that's your project. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara about my brother or my cousin or that one, you know, person at my office. And for some people it is like picking the hour, setting a timer on your phone, 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning, that's going to be the hour that I'm more mindful. And there, you know, you just have to figure out like the small thing that's actually going to be sustainable for you.
Right. Back to that consistency thing that we were just talking about at the beginning.
all this podcast, you know, how to be consistent.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. Okay. So this has been just such an enlightening and encouraging and validating conversation. In addition to, you know, listening to your teachings on Shemir Salashon, do you have any other books or speaker recommendations about the topics that we've like DMC'd about during this interview that our listeners might want to take a peek at?
Okay. Well, so I'm going to go really old school here, and I'm going to say Shahar HaBitachon.
Oh, really old school.
Yeah, really, really old school. I was thinking about, and this is not just for Lashon Hara, because again, like I'm also dealing with people and relationship issues, but working on our bitachon allows us to externalize what's going on in our life and not take everything so personally.
Oh, amazing.
Because then you think like what I'm going through, if somebody insults me or hurts me, then this is what Hashem wanted for me. This person is the shaliach, but it takes away that like, you know, again, that like emotional reaction to that person, which is going to lead me to speak Lashon Hara or to yell at somebody or whatever it is, manage anxiety. I mean, I could go on and on about this topic, but I think that that's really the key. If you really can develop that sense that like that, I'm just going to try to process it and figure out what the message that Hashem has for me.
Amazing.
So that's,
I just saw a video on Instagram, a little clip, Gedalia Fenster saying that it's like, you have to separate the message from the messenger. And the problem is when we get stuck on the messenger versus focusing on what is the message that that messenger is bringing me.
Exactly. Better said than I just said it. Yes.
You know, those like 30 second Instagram reels, you got to pack it in.
It's hard because some people are like very enthusiastic messengers. So it's like, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's hurt because messengers hurt. People hurt. People hurt people.
And sometimes you do need to have guidance on how to deal with a specific person in your life who is causing drama or pain or whatever it is. And you need like actual strategies.
Right. Yeah.
But still, like if you think that, you know, let's say Hashem gave me this spouse, Hashem gave me this child, and you know, I'm obviously the perfect mother for this child because Hashem does not make mistakes. So it just allows you to have a little bit of a perspective and you won't be as reactive and as, you know, likely to say something that you wish you hadn't said.
Yeah. Like that zooming out, that perspective. That more global view. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, Yocheved, thank you. First of all, acknowledge that you live down the street from me.
Yes.
And this is awesome. We always love those in-person DMCs.
So much fun.
I've learned so much from you. I'm so grateful that you're able to share your wisdom with our listeners here at DMC. And, you know, this time it's sometimes hard to tap into these important lofty ideas because that's like the middle of the summer. You know what I mean? We're like a little bit more chilled or whatever it may be. And just the fact that we can like refocus on these important concepts during this time, you make it so accessible, and I'm so grateful for you
sharing
this knowledge in such a meaningful way.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so many great things in this conversation. I loved how she said it's like the effort, not like the goal of being, of getting to like, you know, zero lashon hara, but like the effort is what we need to give ourselves the credit for, and also to give ourselves grace and to like recognize that this is a lifelong process and we need to celebrate whatever we achieve. Like what you were talking about like just resisting that urge. Like you have some really, really, really juicy something. So juicy. And you're like, oh, I just want to call my best friend.
Right.
And you don't.
Right.
You don't. Because like, it's not necessary. And so like every second, and then what she said, like every second that you, like the Vilna Gaon had said that every second that you like don't, every second.
It's crazy.
Second. That like, it's like crazy beyond crazy.
Right. Like, it shows like that Herculean effort to be like, or even juicy piece of gossip, or I'm really hurt about something. I don't know what to do with my feelings. I need to talk to somebody about it. But like if you could like somehow process it, like it's really, really hard. And that's why the reward is so great.
I like that. That's a higher midrash where I'm just like, oh, it's juicy gossip. yeah. And also like how Yocheved had mentioned that like time is your friend, like to take that minute, to take that time, to take that deep breath, the deep breath of that is so elusive, but like, you know, to be able to just pause.
And that can be helpful. She had a lot of tricks and tips.
So many good tips.
I appreciate about her.
Yes.
Also just so much appreciate that she brings to this topic a Torah perspective as well as a therapeutic clinical perspective.
Like, absolutely.
She's such a gem having both. A couple of things I appreciate that she said is, like you mentioned, Rivki, the time element and in what happens during time when you give yourself time. It allows your logical brain to take over that emotional brain.
Yes.
And that only I think a therapist can say. that sounds very true. That's actually what's happening. And the Torah perspective here is she emphasized the bitachon piece is learning the bitachon also does that.
Yes.
She uses language that like it helps externalize the situation because it's your emotional rush isn't, your emotions aren't rushing in and taking over, overtaking that logical brain.
Yeah.
The bitachon, you understand the big picture that like, there's a God here.
Yeah.
That's a messenger.
Yeah.
And yeah, just really valuable gems.
That's fantastic. Here's this episode's takeaway. Close relationships can be complex, and it's easy to fall into the habit of unproductive venting. The next time you find yourself in that position, try to pause and use time to your benefit, giving space for your logical mind to take over. Bonus, familiarize yourself with the 7 conditions of Tuelas before you decide to communicate with someone. Finally, we are so grateful to Town Appliance for partnering with us this year to promote our podcast, and we are just so happy to tell everyone about them. Town Appliance is the go-to appliance store, having served thousands of customers since 1979. You can visit their beautiful showrooms in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore, and they also ship. And you'll get the same personalized customer service they're known for, whether you shop online or if you call. They'll walk you through the process step-by-step to meet your appliance needs. Visit their website at www.townappliance.com. If you're in the market for a new appliance, Town Appliance is the obvious choice.
So, what are we DMCing about next episode, and who are we DMCing with? We'll be schmoozing with Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman, who is the director of the OU Women's Initiative. Our topic, spiritual self-care. Enough said. You'll want to listen.
Okay, you know the drill. Subscribe, rate, and review. Reviews and ratings really do help people find our podcast, and the reviews also make us feel really good, so we love that. That's it. And it's also a valuable way you can give back to us at DMC. Want to get in touch with us? You can email us at dmcthepodcast@gmail.com or message us on our various social media platforms. See you next episode.